We'll start in verse 5. 1 John 1 and verse 5. And Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is what? Light, and in him is no darkness at all. Well, we've been looking at fellowship in this chapter. The first thing we looked at, number one, was food is associated with fellowship. Number two, praying is associated with fellowship. Number three, worship is associated with fellowship. Number four, joy is associated with fellowship. And we're on number five tonight. Holiness is associated with fellowship. There in verse five, this then is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So if we want fellowship with God, God who is absolutely holy, then we need to also walk in a holy fashion. Notice with me in Isaiah 57, Isaiah 57 and verse 15. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. The Bible says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is what? Holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one." So how do we have fellowship with this one who is so high and so holy? Well, we have to get down and be lowly, not puffing ourselves up, not exalting ourselves, but humbling ourselves is the way to get close to God who is high and holy. So we have to have the desire to walk in the light. Notice in Amos chapter 3, Amos chapter 3. Do we have that desire tonight to walk in the light? Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. It's back there somewhere. Amos 3 and verse 3. Can two walk together except what? They'd be agreed. You have to be agreed. If you go into the grocery store, you can't walk together unless you're going in the same spot. You know, if the husband wants to go in the automotive section and the wife wants to go in the clothing section, you're not going to walk together unless you do it together. So can two walk together except they be agreed? Our sin nature does not like light. Have you noticed that? Our sin nature doesn't like light. Notice in John chapter 3, John chapter 3, our old sin nature loves darkness. In John chapter 3 and verse 19, John 3 and verse 19. The Bible says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men what? Love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were what? Evil. So it's that old flesh that likes the darkness because its deeds are evil. Verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth what? The light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So he that doeth truth cometh to the light. We need more light in Washington, D.C., don't we? Lots of it. So that there's truth. He that doeth truth cometh to the light. So, holiness. Holiness is associated with fellowship. You know, many restaurants have big windows, and so in many restaurants, you know, you might say, well, I wonder how busy they are. Well, maybe you look at how many cars in the parking lot, or in recent weeks and months, it's how many cars are at the drive-thru. When we get back, and I think they're open now, aren't they, restaurants? I think. At least Big Boy there looks like is open now, so I'm not keeping track of all the decrees. I'm kind of fasting from news, basically. I'm tired of the news for a while. So, but anyway, many restaurants have big windows, so the guests can look out, and I guess also so that you can see how many people's inside. If you want to go in, maybe you don't want to go in. But most restaurants and bars, any place that serves alcohol, most generally does not have big windows to see in, or if they do, they're tinted dark. If you notice that, you just stop and think of the places that serve alcohol. A lot of them, you cannot see the guests inside, or you cannot see them well. It's either not lit well, or darkly tinted windows, or not many windows at all. And, you know, there's a new bar, well, it's not brand new, but just the one down the road on the left. That one, I don't know if there's any windows even in that thing other than in the doors, but that is typical of a bar. Why is that? You know, I don't think we could check with Pastor Jeremy or Sister Laura on building codes, but I've never heard of a building code that deals like it with, if you're building a building that's going to serve alcohol, you can't have any windows in it. Or the windows have to be tinted like 80% dark. I don't think there's any codes like that. But isn't it interesting that when they build a building that alcohol is going to be served in, most generally there's not a lot of windows. Why is that? I don't even think they probably know why, but we know from the scripture it's the darkness aspect. When you, we've just been reading about the flesh, when the flesh sins, the flesh wants it dark. And that's just very interesting about places that serve alcohol. Most generally, you cannot see it. People, for some reason, when people are consuming alcohol, evidently they don't want people to know they're in there. And they don't even realize that, I guess. But that's the way it is. Notice in John chapter 1. Now, you may know some exceptions. Maybe there's some restaurant you know of you've driven by, and maybe they have big windows. I don't know. But most generally, as I think of places that serve alcohol, Applebee's serves alcohol, but all the times I go to Meijer gas station, I never remember being able to see who's sitting in there eating. Maybe I just don't look good enough. But like I mentioned, the bar, all the bars downtown, you know, the other restaurants downtown, a lot of them have windows that you can see in, the guests, but not the bars. It's very interesting. In John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was what? The light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness, what? Comprehended it not. Comprehended it not. I have a feeling that these who design places that serve alcohol, maybe they just know that's the way people want it. They don't want people to look in and see them in there for some reason. Well, we know why. So back in 1 John 1 and verse 5, so holiness is associated with fellowship with God. In 1 John 1:5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk, what? In darkness, we what? We lie and do not the truth. Let's read that again. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So holiness associated with fellowship. Fellowship. Remember what fellowship means? According to Strong's Concordance, fellowship means communication or communion. So those two words have a difference in them. Communication, you can communicate with someone that you don't necessarily have communion with. When you have communion with someone, there's something in common, some agreement in common, if you have communion with someone. But you can communicate with anyone. You can communicate with someone that's the opposite spectrum of you. You can still communicate, but there's no communion. But fellowship can have both of those aspects to it, communication and communion. So verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You know, people walk in darkness because, as we said, the old flesh wants that sin. Notice with me in Proverbs 7, people walk in darkness when they want to commit immorality. Proverbs 7 and verse 6. People walk in darkness when they commit immorality. Proverbs 7 verse 6. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went away to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. That's when he went. Twilight in the black and dark night. Behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. So people walk in darkness to commit immorality, to do other crimes as well. Notice in Job 24, Job chapter 24. Now, I know there are people who rob homes in broad daylight. I understand that, but most of the time, it's at night. On many mission fields, many missionaries don't go out after dark because it's dangerous, very dangerous. When we've been with the Walls, they try to pick a close church to go to. When we are in town with them. Other missionaries don't go out at all after dark. Job 24:13. They are of those that rebel against what? The light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. The who? The murderer rising with the light killeth the poor and needy, and in the night is as a thief. The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for what? The twilight, saying, no eye shall what? See me, and disguiseth his face. In the what? The dark. They dig through houses, which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light. For the morning is to them, even as what? The shadow of death. If one know them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death. I like the morning. I like the light. I wish they'd quit changing the clocks back and forth is what I wish, but I enjoy the morning, but not to the sinner doing these crimes. To them, the morning is a time of terror because they might be recognized. So people do all kinds of sin in the darkness. Now let's go back to 1 John. We're going to move down to verse 7 now. 1 John, let's read verse 6 again, 1 John 1, 6. For if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So, you know, if I say, oh, I love Jesus and, you know, I'm walking with him and I don't know what I would do without him, But if I'm walking in sin, I'm what? I'm a liar. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship one with another. We have communication. We have communion. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, those who teach that salvation can be lost, verse 7 is one of those verses that they can twist, they can wrest this verse and try to teach their false doctrine. Because they would say, verse 7, well, but it says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we would have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And they would go back to the beginning of the verse, if we walk in the light. If we walk in the light. That's what they would say. But there are two different statements going on here in this verse. The first part, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Okay, that is one thought right there. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That is just saying again what we've already seen here in these verses. We have that communication, we have that communion. But the last part of the verse says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Thus far, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us through John about fellowship. If we say we're having fellowship with God and we're walking in darkness, we are lying. Okay, now how many people in here are perfect? How many people in here are imperfect? So we have a problem. Do we always walk perfectly with Christ? No. And so now he's beginning to show us the other side of this, because when you really stop and contemplate the holiness of God, and actually the closer we get to God, the more sinful we know that we are. It's not that we are becoming more sinful than we were, because if we're getting closer to God, there should be less sin in our lives than before. But the closer we do get to him, the more his pure, holy light shines on us, and we see things we didn't see before. Sister Verberg, when she had her first cataract surgery, she saw things that she didn't see before. She probably saw some of our wrinkles that I didn't see before either. I have two sets of glasses, my regular glasses, which I'm wearing, and then I have like a computer set. And when I have the computer set on and get in the car, I know it quickly because I can't read the signs sharply. They're not for distance. But when I put those on in the bathroom mirror, it's like everything zooms right up. So the closer we get to God, the more we are going to see our faults, and really, the more humbling it is. Because we no longer have any false picture of ourselves, like, wow, we are really attaining some high level. Because the closer we get to God, the more we see that we come so far short of his glory. And so verse 7 begins to change that thought. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Thus far, he's been saying, listen, if you say you have fellowship with God and you're walking in darkness, you are a liar. Pretty strong language, pretty firm. He repeats it kind of over and over. And now he's suddenly going to start hitting on the other side. If you think you've arrived, if you think you are sinless, you are a liar. Like, drastic change. Well, verse 7, the last part of the last half of the verse, and remember, when the Bible was written, there were no verse divisions. It was just all text. They later put verse divisions in there to help us find passages and thoughts and so on. So, this last half of verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And look at verse 8. And here we're getting into number 6. We were looking at holiness is associated with fellowship. Number 6, confession is associated with fellowship. Confession. Because once you really delve into the holiness part of it, you realize, wow, I come so far short. So confession is associated with fellowship. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we what? We deceive ourselves and the what? The truth is not in us. Well, if the truth is not in us, then what must be? Lies. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So, how do you reconcile this? He's been saying, if you say you're having fellowship with God and you're walking in darkness, you're a liar. Now he's saying, if you say you don't have any sin, you're a liar. How do you reconcile that? Remember, this conversation is about fellowship, not about relationship. Remember, fellowship is communication or communion. Relationship, according to Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary, relationship is kinship. It is the relation connecting or binding people. How many of you have ever done something in your life which caused a family member to be upset with you? Yeah. Did it break your relationship? Were you no longer brother and sister or brother and brother? Were you no longer child and parent, parent and child? Because what you did upset? No. You could have a genetic test. You know, there are some people, there are siblings in this world that haven't spoken to their other siblings in decades. But you know what? If you still did a genetic test, you know what? They're still related. Even though they act like they're not, they still are. They can't. There's no communication. There's no fellowship. But there's still a relationship. And here's one thing we need to get straight. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Once we receive Christ as our Savior, we are a child of God. And there is nothing, you talk about earthly genetics, there is nothing that can break our relationship to Christ. Hold your place here. Turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 28. John 10, 28, I have given to them eternal life, and they shall what? Never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. He gives unto us eternal life. There's no way to lose eternal life. So, when we sin or grieve some of a family member, that does not break our relationship. It does break our fellowship. It breaks our communication. It breaks our communion. But you can still prove genetically that it didn't do anything to your relationship. Why? Because that relationship is based on blood. Same thing with 1 John 1, 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So the facts are laid out about our condition there in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So once again, comparing verse, how do you reconcile verse 8 and verse 6? Verse 6 is saying, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We're talking about the holiness aspect of it. Okay, if we're walking in darkness, not in light, and yet we say we're in fellowship with him, we're lying. But verse 8 says, If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. How do you reconcile the two? Well, you reconcile it with verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ. So confession is associated with fellowship. How many of you, when you were younger, and maybe you still are young, how many of you ever played on a teeter-totter? Okay. All right. When you are up, where is your partner? Down. When you are down, where is your partner? Up. Why is that? Because there's something in between you. It's the bar, it's the support, it's whatever the teeter-totter is tottering on, okay? Going back and forth on. It's that bar in the middle. The bar in the middle is the stabilizing factor. And the bar in between here is the blood of Jesus Christ. How do you reconcile verses 6 and 8? You do it with verse 7. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's only the blood. When we're down in sin, it's only the blood of Jesus Christ that raises us up. When we're walking in sweet fellowship with Christ in spirit and in truth, it's only the blood that allows us to be in that position. So how do we get that forgiveness? Well, it's in verse 9. If we what? Confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So verse 7 told us the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from what? All sin. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. There is no sin that is beyond the saving power of Jesus Christ. One time many years ago, Brother Jim and I went and visited a man, and we talked to him, and he was not saved. His wife was saved, and he was not. And he said to us that he thought he did something back years ago that God would never forgive him for. And so I don't remember at that time if we took him to this passage as one of them. I think we took him to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, talked to him. But that man got saved then. He realized that was the devil's lie. The devil wants people to think they have done something that is too bad for Christ to save them. But that is not true. Verse 7 says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Verse 9 tells us once again, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So in verse 9 it says if we confess our sins. The word confess is a compound word. The first part of it means same. It's the Greek word homo, and the world has their designation for sodomites dealing with that. Gas stations used to, I don't see this anymore, but they used to advertise on their signs homo milk. And they're talking about homogenized. It's all one. You know, it doesn't separate. Like the straight thing from the cow or goat, Brother Steve tell you, Brother Jim tell you about the cows. So they had advertised that. They don't do that anymore. I don't know why. Maybe because they wouldn't sell much of it. I don't know. But anyway, so homo means same and legeo means to speak. So when we confess something, that compound word means to speak the same. To speak the same as who? As God. That's who. In other words, true confession is agreeing with God. I sin. It's not blaming someone else. It's taking personal responsibility. Notice Romans 14. Romans 14. Oh, we're like Adam and Eve when it comes to that. We love to blame others. Adam, did you eat of the tree? I commanded you not to eat thereof. The woman that you gave me. Yeah. So he's blaming the woman. He's blaming God. Then I ate. Yeah. Then. Only after blaming two other people would he take the blame. Romans 14:11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every who? one of us shall give account of who? Himself to God. Romans 14, 11 and 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And things don't go well for us when we're not willing to confess our sin, when we're not willing to admit it. Notice in Proverbs 28, Proverbs 28. You know, one of the hardest things to do is to admit our sin, to confess it. But then the guilt is lifted, and God is free to bless us. Proverbs 28, 13. The Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall what? Not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them. So confessing and forsaking would be repenting. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall what? Have mercy. So I know. Seems awful hard to do. But that's the way for blessings. That's the way to prosper. That's the way to find mercy. So let's go back to 1 John 1:9. Remember, 1 John 1:9 is not dealing with getting saved. I mean, the principle is there. You know, if we confess before God we're a sinner and ask him to save us, he will save us. But this whole chapter is fellowship, not relationship. So it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So 1 John 1:9 is dealing with fellowship. It's dealing with broken communication. It's not dealing with a broken relationship. Verse 9 is not telling a one-time Christian how to get saved again. Sometimes people look at 1 John 1:9 and they say, I don't understand this. I thought when we got saved, Jesus forgave us of all of our sins. So then why do I have to confess my sins? Well, it's not to restore your salvation. It's to restore your fellowship. How many of you have ever said a word to a family member that was unkind? Okay. So did that mean that you had to ask your brother or sister to be your brother or sister again? Does that mean that you had to ask your husband or wife, could we get married again? I said the wrong thing to you, and I broke our relationship, so could we run down to the preacher real quick and do it over again? You don't do that. You break communication and communion, but you don't break your relationship. And it's the same thing with Christ. Verse 9 is talking about our fellowship, restoring fellowship. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's how you reconcile that. No, you don't pray every day. You know, sometimes people have told me, I pray every day and ask Jesus to save me. Do you ask your wife to marry you every day? Do you ask your brother or sister to be your brother or sister every day? No, it doesn't work that way. This has to do with fellowship. I notice in Psalm 66:18. Sometimes people have said, but what if you die with an unconfessed sin? We are not dealing with relationship. We're dealing with fellowship. Because some people think, well, if I happen to sin and don't quick ask forgiveness, does that mean I go to hell? No, because we're dealing with fellowship, not relationship. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will what? Not hear me. That's communication. That's communion. If I regard iniquity in my heart, if I do not confess my sin, I have broken the communication with the Lord. So then back in 1 John 1, verse 10 is re-emphasizing this willingness to admit our personal wrongdoing. Verse 10, 1 John 1:10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him, which is God, a what? A liar, and his word is not in us. Why do I make God a liar if I say I haven't sinned? Well, because he said in verse 8 that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So if I'm saying, verse 10, I haven't sinned, then I'm trying to make God out a liar because I'm saying what he said isn't true. And if you say something that isn't true about someone, then that's a lie. And if God is saying anyone who says they don't have any sin is deceived and the truth isn't in them, and I come around and say, well, I haven't sinned, then I'm trying to make God out to be a liar. And of course, I'm going to be the loser for sure in that. So the only way to keep fellowship sweet and constant is to keep confession swift and frequent. You know, if I do something during the day, the wrong thought is, oh, well, tonight before I go to bed, I better confess that. You know, that's kind of like Pharaoh, isn't it? He was plagued with frogs. How many of you like frogs? Anybody? A few of you. Okay. How many of you like frog legs? How many have ever eaten frog legs? Okay. Brother Jim is our senior expert. Okay. I have never eaten a frog leg. Okay. Pharaoh. That's one thing that drives Pharaoh crazy is the frogs jumping all over. The frogs got in their kneading troughs. Can you imagine that, slicing a loaf of bread and finding a frog right in the middle? You cut right through the middle of a frog. In your bed. Sometimes when people camp, they do pranks on people and put all kinds of things in somebody else's sleeping bag and bed and cause all kinds of mischief. But can you imagine? Frogs were in their bed chambers. They were in their kneading troughs. And that was too much for the great Pharaoh. So what does he say? Moses asked him, when shall I remove it? And what does he say? Tomorrow. Tomorrow. Another night with the frogs. Can you imagine that? Another night with the frogs when he could have said, please, now. And he says, tomorrow. Tomorrow. Let's not do that with sin. Let's not, when we realize we have sinned, when is the time to say, Lord, please forgive me? Right now. Right now. Why live the rest of the shift at work with the frogs? Why drag that on? Why not have sweet fellowship? You know, if you're cross with somebody at work or they're cross with you, do you just automatically think, oh, tomorrow's another day and, you know, everybody will forget about it? So, you know, the rest of the shift, you're working with somebody that has the outs for you. How much sweeter it'd be to make it right and right then. So that's the way that we should be. We should be swift with our confession. So two stark contrasting positions here. Fellowship. If we say that we are having sweet fellowship with God and we are walking in darkness, we are liars. Now let's face the facts too. We are far from perfect. And if we say that we don't have any sin, we're liars. So the question is, how can you ever have fellowship with God? You're walking in darkness, you're not having fellowship with Him. If you say you haven't sinned, you're not having fellowship with Him. What do I do? Confess my sin. The moment I realize I have sinned, confess it. The moment I wrong someone, confess it. That's the way to have sweet fellowship with Christ. It's a constant balance, isn't it? No, I don't want to walk in darkness. But yes, I'm still in this old flesh. And I need to constantly ask the Lord to forgive me and cleanse me. That is how. You know, when you hear someone sing, or maybe an instrument play, especially like an organ. It's not a just perfect tone right on that pitch. The organ, the old organs anyway, they had like a wheel. I forget what they called it, but it made it like a vibrato a little bit. It was like it would vary a little bit. And you could, on the old organs, you could turn it up so it was like really bad. Or it could just be more of a subtle. And so many times when people sing, that note is not just perfectly on, it's there's a little fluctuation to it there. And you know, in our walk, we've got to realize that we just can't walk in darkness and have fellowship with Christ. And on the other hand, we've just got to realize that we are not perfect. We are far from it, and we need often instant confession. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, please help us in our lives. We don't want to walk in darkness and make excuses. We don't want to say, well, everyone else is doing it, so why shouldn't I? Lord, we don't want to go there. We want to be close to you. We want to obey you. And Lord, the closer we do get to you, the more pathetic we realize we are. We're so far short of your glory. And we so often need to ask for forgiveness to keep that fellowship open, to keep that communication open. And Lord, please help us to be that way. Help us not to be worldly sinners making excuses for our lives. And Lord, help us not to be arrogant Pharisees thinking that we've arrived. Lord, we pray you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our